This is the Green Desk on 95 BFM.
This week on The Green Desk, Jack Marshall has a chat with the big dog in nature, Forest and Bird CEO Kevin Haigh, about a recent win, which saw the government deny an application to mine conservation land in Te Kuha, down in the Buller District. We started off by asking Haigh if he was expecting the results from the beginning.
Well, we know that the land in question is of extremely high conservation value. We did think that there was a good chance that that the ministers, and it's a joint decision of the Minister of Conservation and the Minister of Energy and Resources, we thought there was a good chance that they would come to this decision because we thought that that's what the law actually required. So we weren't surprised, but we were still very pleased.
What actually is defined as, you know, high-level conservation land? Like, what makes it different from somewhere else?
Well, several factors. One is the pristine nature of the place. So this includes, you know, some unlogged forest, so some very old forest and very old, pretty unique vegetation. That's one of the things about places where mining companies are able to get coal relatively close to the surface. The thing that makes them interested in them as a coal mining location also creates pretty unique vegetation patterns and of course, unique pattern of animal species that live there too. And this place has some invertebrate species. Like there's a moth that's found more or less only there, for example. It's very likely that there are some species that we haven't yet identified that are unique to that place as well. But it's also home to a number of other species that, while they are found elsewhere, are pretty rare. So the West Coast green gecko, for example, great spotted kiwi, fern bird. You know, this is the kind of place that conservation land exists for. It's actually provide a place for these unique ecosystems to exist.
Does this kind of set a precedent going forward? Is this kind of something that they'll look back on and say, yeah, well, they didn't do it here, so we can't do it here? Or is it kind of just one step along the way?
It's closer to one step along the way, you know, that as the law stands, it requires a joint decision of the minister, of those two ministers, conservation and energy and resources, as to whether or not the minerals extraction can occur on conservation land. Now, we believe that should be just a single minister, the Minister of Conservation, who makes that decision, because they have to weigh up the importance of the conservation value. And, you know, of course, in every different situation, there are different conservation values at stake. And that's why it's hard to say that this decision will be a precedent for every other situation that arises. While this decision was made on the basis of the existing law, the government is also consulting about its intention to not allow any mining on conservation land or any new mining on conservation land. So that's currently being talked about with the public at the moment. The government has made it clear that it is its intention to prevent that occurring in the future. So it may well be that in the future there'll be a different law that applies and we won't even have to wait for a ministerial decision. It'll just be clear from the get-go that this isn't going to be permitted.
Well, it kind of, just the name itself, conservation land, just kind of leads you to think that you're probably not going to be mining on it. But obviously,
that's right. You know, it's public conservation land. It's land that has been set aside particularly because of its conservation values. You basically can't do mining that preserves those values, you know.
Total opposite.
An open cast coal mine essentially means permanent and total loss of those values. You know, that's it's just they're fundamentally incompatible. Mm. Now, of course, the decision by the ministers doesn't necessarily mean the end of the proposal. The public conservation land that was proposed to be used for this mine was actually only about 10% of the land that that the mining company Stevenson's actually need for the land, and so it remains to be seen whether they can go ahead with the loss of this part of the footprint that they wanted. The rest of the land is on land owned by the Buller District Council. It's a reserve for drinking water purposes. You and I might well think that an open cast coal mining is also incompatible with that purpose. But we're still fighting the Stevenson Group in court. And as of today, it still seems that they intend to press ahead to try and get the permission that they need to be able to operate the mine.
It's just one kind of battle after another. Yeah, one of the things I think that could be quite useful in this kind of thing is once you actually get people out into nature, they have this sudden appreciation for it. So is there ways of opening up these kind of parts of land to more public use, or are they kind of a bit too sensitive to really have lots of people in there?
Yeah, it's a really good point. You know, so Tekuha is at the kind of very most southern part of what we think of as the Buller Coal Plateau that also incorporates Denniston and the Stockton Plateau. Now, the Stockton part has already been very extensively mined, or as I would say, completely destroyed by open cast coal mining. The thing is, because it's closed off to the public, most people, even people who live nearby, have got no real idea of what it looks like up there. And I can tell you what it looks like. It looks like Mordor, you know. It's just this ghastly, completely destroyed landscape. Everything that was natural has gone. You know, when we show people drone footage, for example, of this Tekuha area that's proposed to be taken for this mine, they're blown away by, you know, just how special this place is. I think finding ways to get people access, either through, you know, recreational access, you know, a track that might take them close to this area, and certainly there are parts of the plateau on Denniston that are accessible to the public. And the northern part of the Paparoa Range is not really very far away, and that is similar in many ways, and there is a track leading in there. So that's one way of getting people access, and the other way is the way that we've been trying to use, which is with photographs and drone footage, because, you know, increasingly that gives people a sense of the richness of this place and the extraordinary value that it has.
That was The Green Desk on 95 BFM. Tihei Modi Order.